Words for Life today is by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. His talk title is How to Be a Good Tree, and his Bible reference is Matthew 7, 16-23.
Now this morning I want to talk to you about how to be a good tree. But what does it mean to be good? Now, when I was growing up, it was easy to know who the good guys were and who the bad guys were. The good guys were the heroes. The bad guys were the guys who were stealing stuff, hurting people. That's pretty straightforward. But as we look at our world today, who are the good guys and the bad guys? If anything, it seems to all be a mess. In our society today, people are worried about the future, that we're not sure that things are going to go forward in a good way. We have more gadgets, but more anxiety. We're worried about economics into the future. There's less certainty than there's been in a long time, and less hope. How do we spot the good guys? Who should we trust? Jesus tells us here what we should be looking for. Now, this is the second of 3 weeks in some of these difficult sayings in Matthew chapter 7. And today we're looking at the good trees and the bad trees. And I want to break it up as we go through, looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly. And just finish with the struggle we all find ourselves in. We're going through the good trees. To start with, though, this is not about trees. Some of you have read this passage and heard it before. A good tree produces good fruit. Now, if you grew up on a farm, you're probably nodding your head going, yeah, Jesus is right. A good tree produces good fruit. But how do you tell the difference between a good tree and a bad tree? The clue here is the fruit. Now, there are people here who I know have good fruit trees because we benefit from that. We all get the fruit. We all get to enjoy it. And I think it's the same with people. That's what Jesus is getting at. Someone who's a good person bears fruit. The difficulty is in spotting them, because we've already read last week that the road that leads to life is a narrow gate and few find it. How do we find it? How do we find the good people? How do we find those who will help us to have a better life? In our society today, you could look around and we know who the bad people are. Whether they're the haters, the bullies, the abusers. And it depends a little bit on your politics. If you're on the political left, it's the bigots, the racists, the transphobes, the homophobes, the climate change deniers, the greedy businesses, the miners. They're the bad guys. If you're on the right, it's the dole bludgers, the druggies, the greenies, whoever you want to list. But who are the good people? Who are the people you can really trust? Well, I think one of the problems is there's not really anything clear to tell us who the good people are. Now, Jesus comes to tell us who the good are. And you might think that, well, Jesus is a religious leader. The good people will be religious. But that's not the case here. Actually, the problem is with religious people. He's talking about false prophets. Religious people who lead you astray. He says in verse 15, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Here the false prophets come to deceive God's people. The problem here Jesus has is with the religious. And throughout Matthew's gospel, one of his things he keeps coming back to is the hypocrisy of religious leaders. He's telling his disciples here how to work out who's on the right side. and we're to look at what their fruit is. That's why it's a little difficult standing up here today, because I'm telling you to have a look at my life and see what the fruit is. That is, don't just look at what I say, look at what I do. Inquire. And if, as we look at the church, there's lots to worry about. At the moment, our churches don't have a good reputation. We're living in the wake of child abuse scandals. People don't respect religious leaders. And one thing I keep saying to people is Jesus is the most anti-religious teacher of religion you will find. He is against those sort of exploitation, the hierarchies. He's after truth. And as we come to the Bible, we find the good people are actually difficult to spot too. Where are the people who get everything right? Well, maybe you're thinking Abraham, the father of faith. Well, you look at his life and what's the fruit in it? He did many good things. He trusted God. But in Genesis 12, we read he pretended his wife was his sister in order to get favors from Pharaoh. He exploited a king using his wife. He chased money. If we go a step further, King David, a man after God's own heart. Well, he was also an adulterer and a murderer. What sort of fruit is that? What fruit do you think Jesus is talking about? And the problem in Jesus' day is actually a lack of fruit. That's what he teaches. We go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. And he's telling people there, speaking to the Pharisees, the axe is at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Oh, this is John the Baptist, sorry. God's judgment is coming. Repent is the message of John. And Jesus speaks to the Pharisees about a lack of fruit in Matthew 21, verse 18 to 22. He comes up to a tree on the way into Jerusalem. He sees that on the fig tree is no fruit. He says to the tree, "May you never bear fruit again," and immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. And Jesus' response is, "I'll tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what is done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done." So here we have this cryptic episode with a tree on the way into Jerusalem. He gets to the tree as he's coming to the capital of Israel, and he finds there's no fruit. He declares judgment on it, and the tree withers immediately. I think we're supposed to look past the tree and see God's people. Not showing the fruit of repentance. And then he says to the disciples, "Go and say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea." Well, that's an Old Testament prophecy that one day the hills will be laid low, the valleys filled in, and the Lord will come in judgment. God's kingdom will come. It's coming. The lack of fruit is a lack of repentance, a lack of people turning to God. People are trusting themselves and not God. They're called to find fruit. Matthew 21, 43. Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and says, "I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce its fruit." They're insulted, offended by Jesus, because he's telling them they need to change. If you like, they're heading down the exit of the freeway and going past one of those signs that says, "Wrong way, go back." He's saying they need to turn to God right now. They need to stop looking after themselves, repent and turn to God. The fruit I think Jesus is after is repentance. not being perfect, but turning to God, turning away from sin, turning away from selfishness, and coming to know him. In our world today, we're told again and again to look after ourselves, but Jesus tells us to look after others, to love our enemies, to reach out beyond ourselves. Timothy Keller has a great little book called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. I think there might be some copies out the back. It tells us that to follow Jesus is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Jesus gives us the freedom to serve others because we know that we've been served by God. Here, the bad I think they're talking about is self-reliance apart from God. People looking after themselves, trusting themselves. And religious leaders can do that as much as anyone else. Now, when it comes to sin, one of the problems is we think it's just superficial. Now, maybe you experienced the storm on Thursday. Maybe you had your car out like I did. And then maybe you spent 2 days trying to get into a car wash but not being able to get there because everything's filthy. Often I think we think of sin like that. We've got a little bit of dirt on the outside, and if we can just wash it off, everything will be back to normal. But that's not how it works in the Bible. It's not just the outside that's the problem, it's deep inside. It's not just dust on the outside, but it's the engine. It's having petrol in the tank. For Jesus, it's the heart that's really important. It's not just externals. It's not just how people look. Are they clean? Are they compelling? This is one reason why it's important that you not just listen to preachers online, but hear what people have to say and see how they live. We need to see past the externals. We need to see fruit in their lives. We need more than a wash. Matthew chapter 12 tells us that we need to look at people's words is the first place we look. Here Jesus says in verse 32, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Jesus is saying that the things we say and do come out of our heart. If your heart is right with God, good things will start coming out of it. But if it's full of greed and selfishness and sin, you will not be able to stop bad things coming out of it. The problem is deep in our hearts. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 tells us, don't you see whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. See, out of our hearts come our selfish desires. And the things we say show what's really important to us. Out of the good tree comes good fruit, but out of the bad tree comes bad fruit. Now, how do we reconcile this with the messiness of our lives? We need to reflect on what's going on. Where are we with God in our heart? Have we made peace with God? Have we come to him? How do we know? Well, one way, John chapter 16, verse 8, tells us when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit actually comes to us when we believe in Christ, and he makes us conscious of sin. He makes us aware that things are wrong in our lives, that we need to sort out with God, that we need to ask forgiveness, that we need to repent and turn to him. Now, if you're worried about sin in your life, that may actually be God putting his finger on you, reminding you to come to him, to be forgiven, to be reconciled, and to have things sorted out. In fact, the church is a place where we're supposed to be able to talk about the things that are going wrong in our lives. James chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, I think the revolutionary bit there is actually admitting where you're wrong to someone else. Asking someone to pray for you. Now, I don't think we do this in our churches particularly well. It's not easy to admit when you've got something going wrong and you want help with it. It's not easy to speak to someone you trust and say, can you please pray for me in this? It's hard. If you know that you're being tempted in your life, you will end up mourning over the reality of sin. It brings us into tension with God and his will. See, wrestling with sin's not a problem. It's not wrestling. That's a real problem. It's those that let evil reside in their heart, as those who dwell on selfish desires, those who forget about God. The warning in Matthew chapter 7 is those who are evil are not good for anything. What happens to them? They're thrown into the fire. They're thrown out by God. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, that doesn't mean we're all perfect. It doesn't mean that one thing going wrong in your life is the end of things. Here, Jesus is really reminding his disciples how to spot good teachers. Look at their lives. Look at how it stacks up. How does it work itself out? Earlier in the sermon, he has told his disciples to be perfect as God your Father in heaven is perfect. We all fall short. And that's why it's blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus is reminding us that we need his mercy. But to beware that there are lots of people who are in things for themselves. See, the good that God desires is to come out of our lives. It's not moral superiority, it's not getting everything right, but it's repentance, humility, and truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 reminds us of what we're to do. We're to train ourselves. He says physical training is of some value, but training in godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, many of you have exercise routines. You might get out and walk. You might go for a run or a swim. What is your godliness routine? How do you rest in God's grace? How do you come before him in repentance day by day? How do you grow in humility? See, the trouble is we're not just to compare ourselves to the person next to us, but we need to compare ourselves to ourselves. Are we making progress? Can you look back and see God's hand in your life as you sort out one thing after another? God looks for what comes out of our hearts. Now, as we look for the good in our world, we're not looking for politics. But where is your heart with God? The biggest decisions we make today will not be who we vote for and how we campaign, but how do we treat the person next to us today? How do we spend time with God today? And this week, I think we need to be praying for truth, to pray that we'll be open, pray for forgiveness, pray for opportunities to encourage and confess our sins to one another, knowing that out of the good tree comes good fruit. We need to be right in the inner parts. We need to find truth in the inner parts. Let's pray that God would be at work for good amongst us as our hearts are right before him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of good trees comes good fruit. We pray that our hearts will be right with you today. Lord, we so easily puff ourselves up with pride and pretense. Lord, humble us before you. May we love one another, seek your truth, and rest in your grace and mercy. Father, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.